We've heard about it our whole lives, but we often take its true meaning for granted. But what is the kingdom of God? Where is it? And how do we get in? All that and more in today's episode. I'm your host, Joel Whitmire. This is the Free Man's Podcast with the Nehemiah Initiative. All right, so today I wanted to talk to you guys about the kingdom of God. This is something that I think for myself, for most of my life, and maybe for a lot of us, when we think kingdom of God, we think of it as a a metaphor for eternal life. And I guess in some ways it is that, but there's a lot more to it. And I wanted to discuss it. Like, what is the kingdom of God? Like, let's actually break that down. Now, some of the things that we're going to talk about today, lots of scripture, but kind of a framework that I picked up recently was from a book by a gentleman named J.T. English. And the book he did wrote was called Remember and Rehearse. And I found it to be really helpful to just give a framework to actually think about the kingdom of God. And he did it with four P's. Presence, people, place, and purpose. And in those four P's, that framework, that is how we can look at what the kingdom of God is. So the kingdom of God starts with the presence of God. It's where God is. The kingdom of God has a people of God where they, you know, there are the people that God is ruling over. And then there's a place. There's a place for those people to dwell and abide. And at the same time that they're abiding in his place, those people are enjoying God's presence. But also a kingdom has a purpose. And that purpose, what we are supposed to do in the kingdom. So I'm going to break down each one of these P's, presence, people, place, and purpose, just with some scripture to kind of flesh it out a little bit, because it's helped me just think about so much when it comes to God, his authority, his rule, his reign, his power, and my place in his kingdom. And also, it's helping me, like, give me a framework to, like, help proclaim the gospel. I got to do that here recently with a friend, and it was pretty, it just helped. It gave me a framework on, like, hey, there's a king, and he is the almighty God, and he has a kingdom, and he, through his son, is calling people in. And yeah, you might be thinking, well, duh, Jesus literally came proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand. And I was like the same. I was like, duh, he literally was talking about this. He was talking about, hey, that kingdom that was there in the garden that we lost in the fall, but God faithfully was promising throughout the Old Testament, I'm going to restore this. That then Jesus comes and goes, hey, that kingdom that you've been looking for, that you've been missing, I'm here proclaiming that it is at hand. So to get into it, we're looking at the presence of God. Revelation 21:3 states, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And then in Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. In John 14:15-18, Jesus makes this amazing promise. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. All right, so I didn't even bring up I forgot to put it in my notes, but in Matthew and in the Old Testament, I believe it's in Isaiah, where we get the name for Jesus. One of his names is going to be Emmanuel, God with us, which is this massive declaration from the Old Testament prophesying, hey, the kingdom where I'm going to be with you, it's coming in a person. And Jesus is born in that declaration. His name is Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So all this to say is there is a kingdom, and God himself will be there among his people. And there is literally nothing better than being in the presence of God. Psalm 16:11 states, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Like, God wants us to be in his presence, enjoying him, enjoying what it is, just be near him, be with him, abiding with him. I love talking about abiding because it's like we get to be with God. We get to be with Christ, him who made us, him for whom we were made. He wants us to be with him. And that's like the first and the main and the underlying and the middle of all the kingdom of God, is that God is with us. And there is nothing but fullness of joy, peace, love, security, and goodness in the presence of God. And that is what he has for us. Oh man, as I'm talking about this, I'm just thinking about like the Levitical blessing, which I believe is in Exodus. It might be Deuteronomy. Somebody drop a comment. Tell me where that is, please. That one where the God is like telling the priest, like, "Hey, I want you to bless these people in my name," where he says, "The Lord bless you and keep you." I'm going to paraphrase this because I'm going to mess it up. But the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. I know I just messed it up, but the idea in that passage, excuse me, that God would lift up his countenance upon you, that he would cause his face to shine upon you. The idea there is that you are in his presence and he would smile at you with favor. Like that God himself would do this. Like, that is the presence of God. That is what the kingdom of God gives us. The presence of God, where we can experience the blessedness of his favor, of his smile, of his love, of his goodness. And I literally could just talk about this whole episode, but that is like an aspect of the kingdom of God, but it is like the aspect of it, okay? The other aspects, the other P's, are people, because we got to be in the kingdom if we want to enjoy this. So people, God has made us a kingdom of priests to him. Revelation 1, 5 through 6 states, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Okay, so this kingdom, we are given a new identity. As the people of God, when we come in, and we'll get into how do you become a citizen, how do you come into this kingdom, we'll get into that in a few minutes. But when we do, we're given this new identity that we are now the people of God, that God himself, like he said there in Revelation 21, God is our God and we are his people. We are brought in, we get to experience his favor. And if you just heard something, sorry about that, but we're brought in. We're now his people. We get to experience his favor and his delight and his pleasure. Now, the next aspect of the kingdom of God is the place. So this is, we're going to talk about this like specifically here in a minute, because it's like, where is the kingdom? But I wanted to talk about the place because there are a few different things that the Bible talks about, like where is this kingdom of God? First thing is hearts and minds. The kingdom of God is here because when Jesus came, he came to set up the kingdom of God, and it is in our hearts and mind. It is a spiritual kingdom. This is kind of stated in the New Covenant, as stated in Hebrews 8:10, and I believe it's also stated in Jeremiah, 31, but I could be off. But this states, Hebrews 8:10 states, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Again, we get to be the people of God. But he puts his laws into our minds and writes them on our hearts. Like, he's ruling and reigning in our hearts and minds, in the way our minds and our hearts work, where we understand and then we perceive and we feel and we will. I think that's a good way to think about the heart in this situation. Well, when he's ruling and reigning in those areas, we then our actions start following what he would have us do, which would lead us to purpose, which I got some more scriptures to talk about in place before I get to purpose. But I hope you see how this is all connected. Like, the kingdom of God is very connected, but these four P's, the presence, people, place, and purpose, just help us put it in categories so we can think about it clearly. So, place. Revelation 21, 1 through 3, there's going to be a literal physical place that he's going to set up. And this is what it says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. So one day when Christ returns, and I cannot wait, come Lord Jesus, come, he is going to come and create, restore all things. He's going to create a new heavens and a new earth, and he's going to come and dwell here with us. His kingdom will be set up where he will rule and reign physically, actually, literally. He's going to come set up his kingdom in this new heaven and new earth. And so the place will go from hearts and minds, not that it will like ever really change from that, but it'll become an actual literal kingdom, a actual literal place where we will dwell with him in that place. So kingdoms have purposes. I'm kind of alluded to it a little bit before, but one of my favorite verses that talk about the kingdom of God and its purposes is Romans 14, 17, which states, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Again, talking about how it's in the hearts and minds, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, his kingdom is with us because he's abiding in us, his people, and it is a kingdom. Our purposes are righteousness, joy, and peace in him. So righteousness, we can think of things like Matthew 22, 37 through 40, where Jesus gives us the greatest commandments. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So of righteousness, it's a place where we are loving God because he first loved us, as 1 John says, and we're loving our neighbors. So a kingdom of righteousness. And also, it's a kingdom in the here and now that we are proclaiming the kingdom. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So a part of our purpose as being citizens of his kingdom in the here and now is to go proclaim the kingdom. Go proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God has come, the place where he's going to dwell with his people, and we're going to have fulfill his purposes. The kingdom of God has come. We're going to go proclaim it. We're going to go baptize people as that have been made disciples, and in making disciples, we're going to teach them all things that he observed, giving them the purpose, the kingdom purpose, and they're going to go do the same. And again, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So a kingdom of righteousness, joy, because in his presence there's fullness of joy, and peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. I believe that's in Jeremiah. Again, somebody drop a comment if you can find that verse for me. So in the Holy Spirit, we go proclaiming. He's with us. We have a purpose to go proclaim the kingdom, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbor as ourself. But also, I would say part of the purpose of the kingdom can be found in Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and okay, I want to make sure I didn't mess that up. Sorry. Over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. The dominion mandate that God gave us at the beginning, it didn't go away at the fall. It just got a lot harder. And that's still part of what we're doing. And I believe that's what we're going to be doing in the new heaven and new earth. We're going to be taking dominion, reflecting God to his creation, and glorifying him in all that we're doing. And I believe that we do that here and now by how we do our work, where we do our work, what we're studying, what we're not studying. Like, all things come in under the kingdom. And we're going to get into that, how this view of the kingdom, it helps us look at it creates a worldview for us where all things are under his authority, so all things should be done his way. So that's what the kingdom is. The kingdom of God is where the presence of God is, where he has a people in a place where they're enjoying his presence, fulfilling his purposes. And it's all by his power, and we're doing it right now as he reigns in our hearts and minds, and one day it's going to be physical, literal, when he restores all things with a new heavens and new earth, and I cannot wait. But until then, let's enjoy the kingdom now, and let's make the most of it. So, where is it? Kind of really talked about this a minute ago, but all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. He rules over all. Like, again, this is the idea of the worldview. If he rules over everything, he rules over your data spreadsheet. He rules over the gas in your car. He rules over how you raise your kids, where you go to church, what you're reading, what you're spending your time on, whether it's how much, you know, your social media, what you're looking at. He rules over everything. He rules over who you vote for, who you don't vote for. He is in all authority, and we should view him this way because he is worthy. Now, the kingdom was in the garden. God came, he created this place, he put his people there, he gave them a purpose to reflect him, to glorify him, and to take dominion, and he was there with us. He was there with Adam and Eve, he was there with our parents, our first parents, I should say, sorry, don't want to be confusing, and they were enjoying his presence. But then the fall happened, and we lost the kingdom, but God came and he picked Abraham and he picked Moses and he picked the children of Israel and he grew this people. He created a people for himself once more. And he's making these promises. I'm going to fix, I'm going to bring back the kingdom. And you had David, where it really looked like you had the tabernacle. You had his desire to build the house, which Solomon ended up building the temple, the house of God, where God was going to have a permanent place. God was going to be there with them. And you had David fulfilling his purposes, the people fulfilling the purposes of God. And it looked like, yeah, the kingdom of God's here. But as we know, these were fallen men. So you had the kingdom. You have pictures of it in the Old Testament. You have the promise of God. He's going to bring it about. He's going to set up a king on the throne of David that's going to rule forever. There's going to be a permanent kingdom that's not going to end. And you have Jesus. Jesus comes and proclaims the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe. And what I love about this is that he sets up his kingdom in our hearts and minds, as we talked about a minute ago. And as we'll look at in a minute in John, where he really stresses, it's at right now, it's not an earthly kingdom. But we'll get to that in a minute. There's also the place, where is the kingdom? Answering that question. So we've seen where it was, where it is now, right now in our hearts and minds. But again, one day it will be in the restored earth, the restored heavens and earth, that Christ comes back and sets up his literal physical kingdom. So the kingdom of God is right now, but there's more to come. And I think we all heard the phrase already, but not yet. The kingdom of God is here. He's in all authority, but it's not like yet, completely yet. And that can be a little paradoxical, a little hard to think about, and it's helpful. But I like the phrase, and I got this also, I think it was JT's book. It may have been another book I was reading earlier, so try not to take this from anybody. But the idea, the phrase I like to use for this is that the kingdom of God is right now, but there's more to come. Like, it's going to be more fulfilled in the future. And I'm telling you guys, I can't wait. I cannot wait for Christ to come and set up his earthly physical kingdom. It's going to be better than anything we can imagine. So this, I hope, poses a question for you guys, especially if you are not already a believer. Okay, I hear you. This kingdom thing sounds pretty good. So how do I get in? How do I become a citizen? So there's really good news. There is a way in. John 14:6, Jesus states, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." All right. So Jesus is saying there is a way into this kingdom of God, and it is through himself. As he is the way, he's the way in. It is by faith in him. He's the truth. He's the one that defines what true truth is. And he is the life. In him we have life. In him we move and have our being. All things are of him and through him and to him. Like, it is only in him that we can come to the Father and that we can come to him, to this kingdom. So it is through Jesus. Now, what are the things that are done? What are the things that are done, the aspects of coming to Jesus, coming to the Father, coming to the kingdom through Jesus? Repent and believe. Mark 1:14 through 15 says, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, the good news of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Repent means to turn from yourself, to turn from your sin, and to turn to Christ, to turn to the way to the Father, to the kingdom. Turn to him, the only way to God, who is himself God. I want to make sure I stress that. So we repent, we turn from ourselves, we turn from sin, we turn to God in faith, believing the gospel, believing the good news that Jesus Christ came to save sinners by his work on the cross, by his blood poured out, taking our sin, taking the punishment for our sin, dying, and 3 days later rising again, that in him, when we come to him in faith and repentance, and as I'll get into in a second, and we cry out for salvation, he saves us to the uttermost. And that's another aspect of this. We cry out for salvation in the faith and repentance. Romans 10:8-13 states, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All right, so in faith and repentance, we come and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And my brother, he recently just really, like, even before I started thinking about, thinking about the kingdom in this way, like, he really is like, hey, we really need to stop and think about when he says Lord there, like, he's saying, you confess that he is master, he is owner, he is ruler over it all. So when we confess that Jesus is Lord, we are confessing that, yes, Jesus, you have all authority in heaven and on earth, over all the governments, over my life, over what I'm doing today, you have authority. You are Lord. So if we confess in that faith and repentance, repenting from ourselves, turning to him in faith, and confess Jesus is Lord, and we believe, again, faith, believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. Like, physically, literally, he rose, he walked out of the grave, and he is right now alive on his throne. God raised him from the dead. If you confess your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. You will be brought into the kingdom. You will be given eternal life, which, didn't say this earlier, but eternal life fits in the kingdom because it's going to be forever, and it's going to be not just like longevity of life, but quality of life. Because Jesus says in John 17:3, and I know this is rabbit trail, but I need to say it. John 17:3, Jesus said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." And knowing there is talking about being able to perceive him with the five senses. Like, God wants our relationship. He wants us back in his, he wants us in his kingdom. He wants us reconciled to himself. He wants to adopt us as his children, as Ephesians says. We are brought in to eternal life in the kingdom of God when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead. you will be saved. For the heart, with the heart, one believes and is justified. God declares you righteous when you believe. And there is no undoing that. You are united to Christ forever in that justification. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. I would say, I would argue that when you come by the power of the Holy Spirit, somebody preaches the gospel to you, you hear it, the Holy Spirit pricks your heart, he awakens you, and you are repent because you see that your sin is just evil, it's rebellion against the King, and you believe and you turn to him. I would argue that it's impossible to not cry out for salvation. Like, you're going to be like, oh, Lord, save me. Like, you're not going to not do that. But when you do, you are saved. For the scripture says, now, I love this. Like, it's confirmation on confirmation on confirmation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. If you believe in him, you believe in him like this, on that day of judgment, you're not going to be ashamed. Because he's going to look at you, there's my son, there's my daughter. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. This is for everyone. For the same Lord, Master, Ruler, King, is Lord of all, bestowing his riches. Like, think about the King bestowing his riches on all who call on him. Oh, what a good King, guys. Like, this is the King who laid down his life for his people, but then he's just like, I just want to lavish them with my riches. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we are welcome into this place, to the place that God has created for us by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We are given a new identity, born again to a new identity, and we're now citizens, we're now reconciled to God, we're now adopted. We are now his people who were not his people before. And we're given a mission, we're given a purpose to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, and to keep taking dominion. And we're to enjoy God's literal spiritual presence by the Holy Spirit who is in us. Like, we get that right now. And then we get to enjoy a more fullness of it. We're going to enjoy God's presence forever and ever and ever without end. And it's only going to get better in the literal, actual, physical reality of when Christ returns and renews all things. This is good news. There is a King, there is a kingdom, and he has restored his kingdom, and he is restoring his kingdom. And one day it will be fully fulfilled, and I cannot wait. So, one of the things, because of the way we want to try to like focus, one of the focuses of the podcast is helping us think through a biblical worldview on just everything in life. And so one of the ways we can apply the kingdom of God practically, that for us, that this, the kingdom of God is all about the presence of God. Like, we are brought back into him for whom we were made. Like, I cannot stress enough how the kingdom of God is the presence of God. That's the main thing. That's the end thing. That's the middle thing. It's all about the presence of God. Our purpose, our place, being his people, is all about the presence of God. And it is only good for us. Another thing that we would need to think about is that the kingdom of God, we are not setting up an earthly kingdom for Christ. Okay? John 18:36-37 says, Jesus answered, and this is to Pilate. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. It didn't come from this world. It's coming from outside the created world. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom... I want to clarify something. I'm going to back up. Sorry. I said not of this created world. I meant not of this physical. It's a spiritual kingdom right now. It will be physical. I want to make sure I clear that up. So, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born. Love that. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And I would say the truth that he is the King of all kings. He is Lord. He is God. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So though we don't set up an earthly kingdom for Christ now, we do and should take his rule and reign that is in our hearts and minds and carry that into every other area of our lives. Politics, family, church, everything, as he rules and reigns in us, is going to start changing. And I would say it changes everything, just like Jesus' parable about the yeast and the dough in Matthew 13:33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, or yeast, leaven, that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. That's what the kingdom of God is. Like, it's in our hearts and minds, and we go out to everything we do, and we are abiding in him, and we are fulfilling the purposes of God that he has given us. Everything changes. Governments change. Your city, community changes. Your family changes. Your church changes. Your work changes. Everything. Your leisure, what you enjoy in life. Everything changes as it comes into the comes under the kingdom of God that is right now spiritual, to one day he will come and set up his physical. So, this is the good news of the kingdom of God that Jesus came proclaiming. This is the gospel of the kingdom of God. And I hope that you guys have been blessed by this. I hope it encouraged you. If you did find this helpful today, whenever you're listening to this, please like and subscribe. Share it with a friend and hit that bell so you can get notifications when we drop new content. But yeah, really appreciate you guys listening, and God bless y'all.